afternoon. This is Gail Sylvia. Thank you for joining me today on SylviaGlobal.com. My very special guest is a very new friend that I feel like we're kindred spirits, and we've been recently reconnected after being apart for years, but we can pick up where we may have left off. Her name is Brenda Tate. Brenda is the president of the Women's Fund of Southwest Florida. And I love her quote. I have found that among its other benefits, giving liberates the soul of the giver. And that's a Maya Angelou quote that is also one of Brenda Tate's favorites. And I think that it reflects the value and the passions that she's committed to and explains why she's joining us today on Sylvia Global. Brenda?
Gail Sylvia, thank you so much for having me today. I'm delighted to be here with you. And by the way, congratulations on launching Sylvia Global. I'm loving it, and I'm sharing with my friends. So I hope your audience is growing. We really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I think that we, in your philanthropists are like this, leaders are like this. When we see a problem, rather than we might look around and kind of wonder first, does anyone else see a problem here that I'm seeing? And then the next thing is we kind of roll up our sleeves and just say, well, let me do what I can to address what I'm seeing is a need. And in this case, I think that there is a need globally for a place for women and men, but especially women, to re-image what's associated with wealth, what's associated with the word philanthropy, and how our leadership and our faith and our lives reflect so much good that is otherwise not brought to the forefront, in the media. And so you're a very special guest for those reasons, because you do them all so well. And we can just start with, what did you do today?
Gail, this has just been one of my typical days, and I would say this has been typical of the past year. We can all do what we can do when we can do it and where we can do it. So I'm finding that my energy and my passion now is focused on my community and my region, which is Southwest Florida. And like you say, we sometimes see things and we're going, I wonder who's addressing this. We find out no one is, then we dive right in, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, that's been my work for the past year, to see that here I live in one of the most beautiful areas in the world. We have, beautiful beaches on Sanibel Island. We have Naples, Florida. We touch onto the Everglades. We have enormous affluence along this gorgeous coastal area. But just a couple miles, inland, we have extraordinary need. For a while, we were ground zero here for the residential mortgage crisis. We have an enormous population of migrant farm workers and all of the issues associated with that. We've had, families losing their jobs, losing their incomes right and left here. And so there's enormous need, there's huge affluence, but what I discovered is there's no one in our region of Southwest Florida focused like a laser beam on addressing the issues of women and girls, and how do we go about, increasing the opportunities for economic security for women and girls and their families in this region. So we have set about forming the Women's Fund of Southwest Florida. And today was just one of my days to have yet another one of my million cups of tea to spread the word and grow the initiative.
What experience did you have in creating a Women's Fund?
I'm 61 years old.
No way.
I draw on my life's experience. I raised daughters successfully who are now successful women in their own right. I've run a small business. I worked for a nonprofit organization before my husband and I retired about a decade ago to Southwest Florida. I you know, I'm a woman. I enjoy networking. I enjoy empowering others, and I enjoy the idea that we can come together, put our egos aside, and really together achieve great things for our region.
Wow. So the focus on Southwest Florida is because you don't need to go any further than your own, you know, part of your own backyard in order to respond to a need that you see?
That's right. It's, you know, the need is here. It's great. I feel like we have the we have men and women in our region who would love to, who are enjoying being engaged in this, who want their energies and their philanthropic dollars to be channeled in this way. So it's been my joy, it's been my privilege to be able to dive in the past year and just work to organize this this fund to serve women and girls. I love our tagline. We're just, it's very simple. We're saying we want to do impact investing to improve women's lives and girls' futures.
Give an example of the impact investing that would accomplish that.
Well, we are currently, we're still in startup phase. We're being very careful to build a strong foundation for our new fund so that when we do launch, we will be impactful right out of the box. One of the things that we have underway is we've commissioned research with our local university to collect data, analyze the data with a gender lens. We're looking at the status of women and girls in Southwest Florida so that we can learn what we don't know, we can confirm what we do know, and this will help us guide our areas of focus over the next year and beyond. But again, one of the, you know, we're having millions of cups of tea right now exploring what might that be depending on the outcome of our research. One of the things, you know, we're looking at under the umbrella of economic security, and what does that mean? Does that mean that perhaps women and girls in our region don't have access to health care and nutrition? Does that mean that perhaps women and girls in our area don't have the assurance of a safe and secure home and workplace? Does that mean that women and girls don't have access to the education and training they need to build that path for themselves and their families to achieve economic security? So we're looking at a range of things right now, and again, this will all be confirmed by our research, but, you know, are we looking at micro-lending? Are we looking at scholarships? We're exploring right now, and so we'll have. I'll have to say, stay tuned for chapter two.
We'll have you come back
in the fall. We'll know this summer and into early fall. We will know, and we can give you some very solid answers as to the direction we're going to go with our investments. And this is why we think that we will become attractive to our donors. We want to earn their confidence that their dollars will be well spent and will be impactful.
Who are your partners?
Our partners?
Yeah.
We have, during our startup phase, we have a wide range of institutions and individuals who are advising us, ranging from major investment banks. We're consulting with service providers in the area to try to really get a handle on needs, from United Way to our local community foundations to our local university. The list just goes on and on. We're finding that one inquiry leads to others. So our network is growing, and we are committed to really exploring legitimately our five-county service area so that we really do know, we really do understand the issues, and we really do invest wisely when that time comes.
In your wildest dreams, when you look back on the Women's Fund and history records the impact of the Southwest Florida, you know, the Southwest Florida Women's Fund, what would you like that story to be in terms of
magnitude
of impact?
You know, that's a great question. And right now I'm kind of looking at 5-year horizon, okay? And I know that if we can move from ground zero to 5 years and achieve those early goals, then the sky is the limit. But we're really looking at 5 years, 5 counties, a 5-year plan, and within that period of time, we want to have given out at least $5 million of investment in our communities to support women and girls. And we also want to have a $5 million endowment in place so that we can sustain our work for generations. We're in this for the long run. But, you know, at the end of the day, I hope what this leads to is a greater awareness in our region of the power of women and the power of women in philanthropy. You know, if we can really chart a course and we can engage women in reinventing our region's economy, that's powerful, isn't it?
That's extremely powerful.
In this day and time, and I really do believe that there are women in this region who would love to be engaged in this initiative.
Women in what capacity becoming engaged?
Women as donors, women bringing their life experience to the table and, you know, coming together to address problems and map out solutions. But I have to come back to, we are a women's fund. We're not a service provider. We want to underwrite services that are legitimate for women and girls to improve their lives, but we're a funder. So I think what we will have to focus on is attracting donors who are willing to contribute to this fund and be part of a collective investment in these solutions in our region. And that's where I have to come back to a couple of alliances and partners that are beyond our service area, Gail, Sylvia, and you know them well. One is the Women's Funding Network, which I call the trade organization for women's funds. Without the Women's Funding Network, the work that we have done in startup that's taken a year probably would have taken, you know, 1 or 2 decades otherwise. We have been able to draw on experiences from women's funds all over the globe and put those into play quickly instead of learning the hard way and making mistakes. The other alliance that I believe is going to be of enormous benefit and influence here is Women Move in Millions. If we can get the message to women of means that they have so much power through their philanthropy and target that, I believe we will be able to attract major donors to our cause in this region, and who knows what the limit is there.
What's an example, Brenda, of a woman underutilizing or not recognizing her power in through philanthropy?
Oh, my goodness. Instead of pointing my finger at someone else, can I use myself?
Sure,
as an example?
Yes.
Can I use myself?
Please do.
Several years ago, I became aware of Women's Funds. And through this my personal investigation, I became aware of Women Moving Millions. And I thought how fabulous it is that these amazing women are, you know, collectively having such an impact and endowing women's funds all over the country. This is just amazing. Women willing to step up and commit, you know, million-plus dollar gifts to support women and girls. Never thinking that had any application to me. So time goes forward, and I'm curious again about this initiative and bump into it at my first Women's Funding Network conference 3 years ago. And I decided, well, I will go ask questions and learn more and bring this information back to my community in Southwest Florida, because surely there are women here who might be interested in this, never thinking of myself. Well, the more I learned, the more I realized that I have the power. I have the ability to be much more strategic and much more powerful in my philanthropy than I really ever realized about myself. So if I can come to this realization and begin to exercise that power through my philanthropy, through my influence, I think there are so many other women out there who would enjoy knowing how to unlock this key for themselves and experience the joy that you and I both know we receive through giving. It is liberating, isn't it, as Maya Angelou would say?
It absolutely is, and there's so many levels. It's a true blessing and an honor, and I think that one of the things that women do that we're not where we underutilize the opportunity to feel liberated in our giving is that we go about conducting our business and not being strategic and not necessarily always knowing where additional alliances and support may exist.
Yeah.
And so we kind of just find our way, until
isolation.
And it's I think it can, in some ways, for many, it can be there are periods of loneliness while you're wondering, well, is it just me? But it seems like there's so much more that we can do, and there's so many more ways that we can share our hearts and our passion and our talents and time and resources, and be philanthropic in that manner. So another question that came to mind as you were talking was what specifically do the Women's Funding Network do to help cut your learning curve and to engage you so that you didn't have to go down this lonely path, of exploring on your own,
Well, I could almost write a book about this at this point, because as an organization, as our trade organizations, the Women's Funding Network provides very useful tools like the Trademark Making the Case program that helps women's funds manage their grant process in a very, very strategic way. They've also brought to the table my awareness and appreciation of the collective impact approach to grant making, a multi-year initiative with partners and alliances versus, here's $100,000, come back next year and tell us what you did with it, right? Mm-hmm. Then amongst the member funds of Women's Funding Network that I had been connected to, I could go on forever, from very practical things of, a women's fund in another part of the country sharing with us their bylaws and their policies and procedures so that we didn't have to invent that from scratch. And most recently, learning at the conference in Los Angeles much more about an appropriate role for women's funds in the world of microfinance and, some of the lessons learned and opportunities there. That will save us so many missteps if we decide to go down that path. Also learning more about the women's fund, various women's funds roles around the country in the tackling the issue of child sex trafficking. What is the appropriate role for a women's fund and how to stay true to that? So, I just know that on any given day, as we are organizing this brand new women's fund to serve Southwest Florida, I can pick up the phone or send an email to this amazing network of women involved in the work of women's funds and will be received warmly and graciously, and my answers will be forthcoming. And oftentimes I know the answers to questions I don't even know to ask yet.
Did you grow up in a home environment in a community where women's issues and philanthropy were a natural part of what people, how people lived their lives?
No, I didn't. I grew up in the Southeast, and I grew up in a family of very, very modest means, so philanthropy wasn't really part of our daily lives. But there's something, you know, I think that there's something that I, in my DNA, from my parents, from my grandparents going back, that is just sparked this desire to serve because I can, and I want to, and I must. So, no, it wasn't part of my upbringing openly, but I do believe there was something buried in me that has just, you know, ignited at this stage in my life.
Are your daughters engaged in the work that you do?
Yes. Yes, they are. And they have been since children. They have been since children, even though I was a single mother from back in the 70s when I had no role models. I was a single mother raising two daughters. And, you know, at that time, the women's movement was kind of marching by, and I'm admiring it from afar as I am busy, you know, having two jobs and trying to complete my education plus raising two daughters. But over time, as we were able, as our family began to give back to our community, and as young girls into their teenage years, and now as amazing young women, my daughters have always been involved in my giving back and my philanthropy.
How did you teach this to them, Brenda?
I think by example, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that we're more observant, and people are, our kids observe us very closely in moments that we may not even be aware of, you know, the scope of influence. So it is leading by example.
I think so, too. And, you know, selfishly for me over the years as I'm raising my daughters, I just wanted to find a way to not only spend time with my daughters as they were growing up, but also begin to give back to my community. And so for the three of us to be involved in this together during those years, you know, I look back now and realize how important that was and how it created such an amazing foundation for the relationship I have with my daughters and my grandchildren today.
Well, give an example of what you did that you included your daughters in that you made this such a priority, even as a single mom juggling all of the, you know, life responsibilities that you had to juggle. You know, what did you do with them?
Well, you know, here's just one just kind of crazy family example that we talk about to this day. I was running my own business at the time. My daughters were, I think, maybe 9 and 13 years old. So we had all the things associated with that. And I was driving through my community one day from one business appointment to the next and crossed a railroad track that I had crossed, you know, over many times over my lifetime. Well, suddenly all the ties were pulled up, the rails were pulled up, and it was abandoned. And I thought, this is what I've heard about, rails, trails. I've heard about this. And I wonder who is in charge of turning this into a trail for our community. So I just started asking questions, and, you know, this leads you a lot of different places. Well, from that I ended up forming the Georgia Rails and the Trail Society, which really has the history of activating and mobilizing and funding an amazing network of rail trails throughout the state of Georgia today. Didn't know what I was doing, had no experience in this, but just saw something that needed to be done, discovered no one was in charge of making it done. So what do? We just dive right in and make it. My daughters were involved from day one in this. They went with me, walked the 60 miles of abandoned rail, did the surveys, went with me to public speaking engagements all over the state. They were, you know, very, very involved with me and part of my team during these years. So now we can look back, and today what's so gratifying to me is that my grandchildren now can go on their bicycles and ride on some of these rail trails that were, you know, hard to even imagine those few years ago.
That's how legacies are created, isn't it? Just living it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Well, how glorious to be able to ride a bike with your grandchildren and for them to know and see that you had a part and their mothers, you know, had a part in making that joyful memory a part of their life. And I think it's those types of experiences that we might easily take for granted because we're just doing what needs to be done or we're just enjoying the benefits of someone else's work. But when this connection is made to our heart and the questions start forming in our mind, like, who is doing this and why are they doing this and how do we make, that's when we're hooked.
That's right.
That's what pulls us in. It's that heart, that hooking in that connection between our heart and what our eyes and all of our senses are experiencing that triggers the brain to then say, gee, I wonder who made this possible. And we start exploring.
Isn't that fun? Isn't it fun when and you're right, we take so many things for granted, even if we've been involved. But to sometimes go back and dig into the history of how did this wonderful trail or how did this wonderful park or how did this women's fund get started? It's really lovely to know the history. It really is, and nice to be part of that.
So this adventurous spirit of yours has always been a part of who you are, and it just keeps growing and growing as you have more life experiences to adventure into?
I think so. I think of where I am in this place, and I'm at a place where I want to be involved, I care, and you know, you bring your life's experience to the table and apply it, and it's a joy to be engaged. I think I'm just I'm not ready to be put out the pasture.
Well, I think you keep finding we just said new ways to be engaged. One of the things I also hear you saying, and I've, you know, been listening to you each time we get together, is that you tend to work behind the scenes, you know, to create strategic alliances and to build strong partnerships.
I am so happy behind the scenes. I really am.
Go ahead.
Well, it's really, I can be out front as needed and as demanded, but I really do. I prefer being behind the scenes. I'm a matchmaker. I love bringing entities and people together who can form a partnership and be greater working together than they could independently. So to apply all those life skills at this stage is really fun.
You bring such a positive re-imaging to what's associated with the word philanthropy and with the words women and wealth. One of the things that I especially like about the website for the Women's Fund is the logo and the diversity within that logo. Are there any thoughts that you can share with listeners about the role that diversity has played for you in your commitments and activities?
You know, it's very important, and I'm so blessed, Gail Sylvia, that I'm surrounded naturally and not artificially with this wonderfully diverse network of friends and family and associates. So for the Women's Fund of Southwest Florida to have the appearance of diversity It's not just an appearance. It's real. How can we not reflect out the diversity, the wonderful diversity of our community, if we're setting about the work of, you know, working for women and girls and improving their lives in this area? So it's, I don't think about it every day. I'm not conscious of it. I'm just gratefully and thankfully part of a diverse network. Does that make sense?
It makes very good sense, and it sounds like it's authentic. You know, it
It is, because I don't believe I could be part of something that's not authentic and not real. So one of the joys that I have working within my community and within my region to establish the Women's Fund is getting to know even more women and men in our region who are serious about women's issues. So to to expand that network and to kind of stand back and go, oh my goodness, it's an ever diverse, growingly diverse network is really great. And it's just happening, and I hope that we will forever hold on to that.
What advice would you give to a listener who sees a need in their community for starting a women's fund?
Oh, my goodness. If, you know, first of all, I hope to be able, and not just me, but we, the women and men who are organizing the Women's Fund for our region, we want to be able to give back because we have received so much from others in the form of advice and guidance. So if anyone needs advice, please have them be in touch with me. I would also encourage them to immediately get into the Women's Funding Network and also take a look into the now independent Women Moving Millions Network. You know, there are great trade organizations, affinity groups out there that can really answer your questions early on and move your forward light years. So I hope that many other women are inspired to form women's funds or women's foundations in their communities.
Brenda Tate, Liberating Our Souls by Giving. Thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing. Your spirit and your enthusiasm, your just genuine love for life and love for people and how you express it is not only a blessing to others, but you have shared how you end up being blessed and having your soul liberated because of the role of giving and being a philanthropist. Thank you so much, Brenda, for joining us today on Sylvia
and
Global.
Thank you, Gail, Sylvia.
How can our listeners get in touch with you? Can you share website address?
The website is womensfundflorida.org, and the email address is contact@womensfundflorida.org.
Okay.
And Gail Sylvia, would you mind to post it on your website too, so it can be a quick link for
absolutely,
folks to come to Sylvia Global?
Yes, absolutely. It's going there, and they can connect with you through sylviaglobal.com as well. And this broadcast is also available on iTunes as a podcast. Brenda, I hope you'll come back in the late summer, early fall, as you make progress.
Be happy to. That's like stand by for the next chapter.
Sounds wonderful. God bless.
Thank you, Gail Sylvia.